Okay, it's working.
Okay. Hi, my name is Abby Weiss, and this is for Cornerstone 110.19 with Professor Ritchie, and I will be interviewing Rebecca Miller, my aunt, and let's get right into it here. So my first question is, tell me your favorite memory from your early childhood.
Well, I think it would just be holidays in general. They were always made like a, or my parents always made them, mostly my mom, made them a big deal, but not with like a lot of presents per se for Christmas, but we always just did really fun stuff. For Christmas, we'd make like a big deal when Frosty the Snowman was on. We would bring down this table and chairs, we'd make popcorn, we'd have cookies, and so the holidays were just always a really fun time for us. So I would say holidays in general.
So, like, was Christmas your favorite thing? Like, your favorite holiday? Like, the most memorable one?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Okay. And then the next question is, how did you view your parents growing up?
Sometimes things were hard because they actually fought a lot when I was young. Amongst each other, not with us per se. I always felt like there were really high expectations placed on us as far as like doing the right thing, sometimes maybe a little unrealistic expectations. I always felt like I had to live up to a certain standard, which were their standards, which were kind of high.
In terms of, like, just, like, making the right decisions or whatever?
Like, yes, especially, like, from a Christian perspective, like, how do I say this? I don't know, like, partying was never really an issue, but if I were a partier, like, I felt like I would have been, like, looked down upon because I partied or I drank or that sort of stuff, which really never happened. But some other things I did, maybe later in life, like my early 20s, where I made some bad decisions, like, I know that I didn't meet my parents' expectations, and that's something that I think I've tried to do, and I actually think that I've just learned to, even, like, at age 45, like, I finally realized, you know what, I can't meet everybody's expectations, and I don't care anymore.
Okay, so the next one's, like, going off of that, and it's, like, what is something sneaky, crazy, wild, out of the box, whatever, that you did as a teenager?
Well, honestly, I really didn't do much as a teenager, but I'm going to go to a little later in life. It was just like, actually, I still might have been in my teenage years. No, I didn't. No, I wasn't. I was in my mid-20s. Because I didn't drive in high school, so I really couldn't get in that much trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But in my early 20s, I was dating this guy from community college, and I found out that he was dating somebody else, and he was lying to me. And I went to his house, and I chased him and her in my car into Philly, and I told him and her, or I told her, I screamed out of my car about that, you know, he's not just seeing you, he's seeing me too.
That's so funny.
Oh my God, I can't believe this. This is crazy.
I might do something like that for somebody else. Maybe not for me, but I don't blame you.
Oh yeah, I was like literally like driving unsafely in Center City. Like I was in and out of traffic. Pulled up next to them. I rolled down my window. I was screaming like a mad woman. So that's one of the I've ever done.
Okay. The next one is, was there any comparison that you found either, like, from yourself or that other people told you growing up between you and my dad?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, so, of course, you know Paul is super smart.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not, which is fine. I've got other good qualities. Some, I don't know. At least that's what my mom tells me. I'm compassionate. I don't know if your dad's compassionate or not.
Not really.
But anyway, so that's what I'm told. Paul's uber smart. I'm, like, the compassionate one. But I remember we had the same chemistry teacher, and I was getting C's in chemistry, and Paul, of course, got A's. And the chemistry teacher came to me, and he's like, is there, like, a problem between us, or is there a communication issue? He's like, you're not getting the same grades Paul is. And I'm like, you want to know why? Because I'm not Paul.
Yeah.
So I really kind of said it straight to him. And actually, my parents, I think, had to have a conversation with him, because a lot of people were surprised, I guess, that I wasn't as smart as Paul, which, again, maybe at the time I cared. I don't even think I did, but I really don't care now.
So was most of it mainly, like, with school and, like, that stuff? Or was it, or I don't know. I don't even know what else my dad did, like, when he was a teenager.
No, it was definitely academic. Again, I mean, Paul did some things, like, with my parents. I don't think either of us were, like, we both did things that, you know, we lied and stuff like that to our parents. Paul got in trouble for saying he was at some one girl's house in the neighborhood, and he was up in northern New Jersey or something. But, like, I don't think my parents saw us, like maybe morally that different. I mean, Paul definitely spends money differently than I do.
Mm-hmm.
So I hear about that sometimes from, or I did in the past, not really anymore, from my parents. Academics was something with teachers. Parent-wise, I don't know. I guess I kind of always thought my mom liked Paul better. I think they're just similar-minded.
Yeah.
Like, with money and stuff. And I think my mom kind of has, like, my brother has been a little bit more straight and narrow than me, and so I think that she kind of, I don't know, I think the sun rises and sets on Paul.
Mm.
I was, not now, like, I kind of felt like the black sheep a little bit, but I don't really think I did anything that crazy.
Did you have, like, different, like, rule, like, were they stricter on you or less strict on you because of the stuff that, like, because of what he did or didn't do or
no,
whatever?
No, because he really didn't do that much.
Yeah.
He didn't. Yeah. He did not pave the way. But, I mean, again, like, when you don't drive in high school, which I didn't, like, I really couldn't get into too much trouble. We lived in the middle of nowhere. And so I really couldn't. I actually did have a guy to the house, and my parents weren't home. That was in, like, ninth grade. That did not go over well. And a little 80-year-old, like, neighbor told on me.
Oh,
and then I had to go tell her off. But anyway, but no, I mean, I don't feel like they were really, I felt like they were equally strict with both of us.
That's good.
Oh my gosh, I forgot, you can't let your dad hear this.
He's not going, he's like down, I think he's sleeping.
Okay, no problem.
Okay, the next question is, how do you define love, and then what does it take for you to say you're in love?
How do I define love? Wow. So, I don't think I really knew what love is until I had Ethan.
Oh.
I'm gonna cry. So, I thought I was in love a million gazillion times. But, how do I define love? I definitely think love is an action, not sexual, but, like, love is putting somebody before yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So how do I define love? I guess I would say it's putting yourself or putting somebody before yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So putting somebody's needs and wants before your own. So, like I said, I mean, love can be like a funny feeling. Love, I remember when Brad and I first started dating, like, I was just so excited to get home and to see him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's not so much anymore. It's just different. Like, and love, too, I think, like, love, like, when you're not married is completely different than love when you are married. And I think you can be in love. But married is a whole different, it's a whole different ball game. But on top of that, having a child is, like, I really don't feel like I ever understood love until you're up every 2 hours for 18 months feeding a child in the middle of the night. Mm. Like, it's just, like, a whole different thing. And I think, too, is that it kind of made me understand God's love for us better.
Mm-hmm.
By having a child. But I guess, did that answer the question?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, good.
And then the next question, you kind of, like, started to get into it, but how has having Ethan affected your life, like, from the beginning and now and everything?
It's affected it on every level. Physically, it affected me because we had to have IVF to have him.
Mm-hmm.
I had him very old in life. You know, I was 42. Birth was not what I expected. And that has led me with, like, physical things, like prolapsed everything, and I pee myself, and I'm only 45 years old, whatever. So physically, mentally, I feel like as I got older in life, I've become more anxious, but when I had Ethan, like, that was a whole new level of anxiety, which is better now. Emotionally, again, like, I have never loved anything like that child before in my life. And I would stand in front of a gun for him a million times over if I had to. Mm-hmm. And, like, right now, with the way the world is, like, I just hope that nobody ever hurts him because they're going to have to deal with me.
The next one is... Tell me about your adult best friend.
Oh, that's such a sore subject right now. So, my best friend is Jen. She's from New York. We met at Tuscarora, a Christian conference center, in 1994. That's my adult best girlfriend. I guess my husband would have to be my best friend. But anyway, we'll just go with Jen. So, the sad thing is that we have just grown apart. Mm. We differ on what we believe about God at this point. We differ on politics. We differ on basically everything that's going on in the world. And we basically have zero relationship.
Mm.
And it just breaks my heart.
Yeah. I had one of those recently.
But you know what? Like, and she's single, but she's had boyfriends. And when she gets, like, into a relationship, I've had a friend call her a stage 5 clinger, if you've ever heard of that term.
Yeah.
So, like, I called her, I hadn't talked to her in, like, a month or two, and I called her, or I wished her a happy holiday or something, and she's like, I'm just too busy. So basically, it was just like, I'm too busy to be your friend anymore. And, like, I get it. Like, and our lives are different. Like, she has a 10-year-old. I have a 3-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, her dad died almost 2 years in March, and I didn't go to his funeral because I had a 2-year-old, and I would have taken him with me, but she told me not to.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's, like, what began to kind of make the rift, but a lot of the... We're just divided on politics right now, and we talked about it, like, 4 years ago, but I to avoid, you know, the topics that are at a hard place for us. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. There's just something that's the relationship. I know she has friends that she's closer to in New York, and that's fine. But it's just different, and it's really sad because your best friend is, like, supposed to be the person that you can talk to about anything, and mm-hmm. I can't talk to her about the things that are really bothering me right now.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, we don't even agree about COVID.
Right.
Like, we fight about COVID, and it doesn't even need to be fought about. Like, whatever. Like, she'll always ask me, like, oh, what's the hospital like? And I'll be like, well, it's not as bad as you're probably hearing on the news. I mean, you know, and then she's like, well, this or well, that. And I'm like, I don't even know why we started this conversation.
That also leads into my next thing. What has been significant about being a nurse during COVID? Or just about life during COVID, if that's too specific?
I can answer both. Nurse during COVID. Well, I would say the first round in the spring, it was manageable. They were spending the money to have appropriate support for us, and now they don't, and mm-hmm. it's horrible. I guess, I don't know, I mean, I'm sure we spend way too much money as a country on it, and now, but I'm in my hospital individually, I think, spent way more money to have the support, and now we don't. So, for example, like, during first wave, I would have two COVID patients, and I would have, like, a nurse helper, like, in the hallway trying to get me stuff so we didn't have to come in and out of the room a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Today, I had four COVID patients and no helper.
Mm.
So that's kind of where it is there. Personally, COVID, initially, I was petrified that I would get it and either die or bring it to home to my family and they would die.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it would be, like, much worse. Like, I thought, like, all my coworkers would have it or I would, like, be losing coworkers to death, which, so that all, like, put this fear in me. And then there was a couple different things that took that away. One was a doctor that I watched on YouTube from New York. And he's like, basically, if you wash your hands and wear a mask or wear the proper equipment, wash your hands and whatever, like, you're going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know how, but there was something that I heard about. I don't know how I heard it, but it was from the Bible. And it's like, I didn't give you a spirit of fear. God didn't give us a spirit of fear. And so I keep repeating that in my head. Like, I didn't give you a spirit of fear. I didn't give you a spirit of fear. Because I think a lot of people, like, are almost paralyzed by the fear.
Uh-huh.
And you can't function when you're paralyzed by fear. So I kind of figured, you know what? Oopsie, hold on, I dropped my phone. Sorry. I just figure, well, I don't know. I just figured I kind of got this mentality that I'm not going to get it and I'm not going to give it to my family.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily have that mentality at the moment, but I do have a new mentality of that I could get it, my family could get it, but I think we're going to be okay.
Yeah. I mean.
Because, I mean, I'm just seeing even, like, I'm seeing different things with, like, the older people that I'm taking care of, like, where I would have been like, this person's a goner.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whatever we're doing now with the protocols and stuff seems to be at least working better. Like, I'm seeing more people recover to me than more people dying.
Mm-hmm.
So, that helps.
Do you work on, like, a specific, like, floor or, like, unit? Like, do those people have COVID? Or did you just get put with, like, just average? Like, okay, are the people that you're taking care of that have COVID a part of your, like, unit or whatever that you work on? Or is it just people who have COVID, like, random people?
So, I work on a specific unit, progressive care unit. It's, like, ICU step down. It's still considered critical care.
Mm-hmm.
So basically how they determine, like, if you're on a vent, you're in ICU.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have this this high flow, high volume oxygen. It's called vapotherm. And most of the patients, like, that are requiring that are on our unit. Now, like, I had one patient today. He actually didn't have it. He ruled out, but he was there for something totally different. Like, he came in with abdominal pain,
mm-hmm.
but they're testing everybody, so he was initially ruled out COVID. But it's basically, my unit is determined by, like, how sick you are, and whatever that means. A lot of it right now, I'm trying to think, we had 1, 2, 3, 4. We might have had, our unit holds 18, we had 4 COVID patients. Well, no, wait, we had 6, maybe? 6 COVID patients. Don't ask me why I had all of them.
Are they, like, just COVID, or are they, like, something else that,
like... My patients?
Yeah.
My one lady came in for a bowel obstruction, and I think she got COVID in the hospital.
Mm.
And I told her so, too. And she's like, I think you're right. But I'm not going to sue. My other guy was there just for COVID.
Okay.
But a lot of our people, a lot of the patients that we're seeing, that I'm seeing, the ones that are really bad with the COVID do have something else. Like, they have COPD, which is chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, or they have lung cancer. I lost a guy a couple weeks ago, and he had COVID and lung cancer.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think he was going to survive the lung cancer. He definitely wasn't going to survive it once we put COVID on.
That's not a good combo.
and a lot of them are just older, and their bodies aren't like, you know, like a 20-year-old body anymore. Like, they don't fight things as well, so.
Mm-hmm.
Or they have other things, you know, they have high blood pressure, and they have diabetes, and they have congestive heart failure, and you put COVID on top, and it's just too much for them.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah.
And then the next one is, without getting too political, which is kind of hard, how do you feel about the current state of the country, and or how does it impact you?
Without getting too political?
I mean, you can get political, but...
Well, I think we're losing our freedom.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the country... I feel like it's been declining since, you know, we took prayer out of school, which was probably before I even existed. but I just feel like we're not one nation under God.
Mm-hmm.
I always say to myself, I pledge allegiance to the divided states of America. how does it go? I pledge allegiance to the United States of America. Something about, gosh, I can't remember the rest, but and I think there's something about God in there, but we totally, God's getting wiped out, and we're going downhill.
Mm-hmm.
I do feel like we're losing a lot of our freedom. I feel like it's being taken in weird ways. Like, I'm almost, like, sometimes I know people would think I'm, like, a conspiracy theorist, like, the mask is a control, like, what state you can drive in is control. Like, I feel like we're being controlled.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's only going to get worse.
Yeah, that's definitely...
And I'm sad. I'm sad for you because you're young and you've got a lot of life ahead of you, but you have your head screwed on straight.
Yeah.
I'm sad for Ethan because he has no freaking clue.
Yeah.
And I don't know what kind of world he's going to grow up in here. I don't... And... You know, not to be racial, but he's a white male.
Right, right.
He's going to be, I feel like he's going to be, and he may, you know, hopefully he'll end up being a Christian. He's going to get persecuted. And, you know, it goes back to me saying nobody better hurt him. If I'm dead in the grave, I might arise and go after them.
Oh, my gosh. Well, yeah, I was like, I don't really, like, like, even my kids and stuff, I was like, oh, gosh. Like, if I ever have kids, I don't even want to know what the country is going to be
well,
like.
Well, and that's the thing is, like, I kind of did think, like, I mean, I didn't think, like, things were great before we had him. Because we had him even, we had him after Trump was elected, like, he came in 2017. So Trump had been in office for a year. And even when Trump was elected and, you know, Hillary did not win, there, I felt like at that point, like, I was kind of shocked at some of the things of the world at that point. Like, people needing therapy dogs because their person didn't win. And
yeah.
People needing to be off from school. And I'm like, I did think, like, do I really want to bring a child into this world? And now sometimes, like, I feel guilty about it because it wasn't like, just like, whoops, I got pregnant. Like, we made a decision. We tried really hard to have him.
Mm-hmm.
And now I brought him into a situation that I just feel like it's going to be crappy for him. And I want him to have a good life. I want him to enjoy life. I want him, I wasn't handed everything. He doesn't need to be handed everything. I'm not saying that. He has to boil a little bit. But he's an only child. But, like, I'm not sitting here saying he should be handed everything by any means. But I want him to learn to work hard for what it is he wants in life. And I think everybody should have to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how I felt about if I ever had kids. Plus, who knows, maybe it'll get better by the time I have kids, but maybe not. Okay, and then my last question.
Before you decide to have kids, come and talk to me if I'm still around. We can discuss it. I'd be like, Abby, don't do it. No, but I mean, I really, like, go back to that other question. Like, I really do want you to experience it because it's, like, the best thing ever. Like, even if you're sick when you're pregnant, it's, like, the weirdest, craziest thing that there's, like, this human growing inside of you and everything is kind of going according to plan. Like, it's weird. I mean, not for everybody, but, and, you know, everybody has something. But it's just the craziest thing, Abby. Like, I do want you to experience it, but I don't want your child to grow up in this world either.
Mm-hmm.
But, hey, we'll see what happens.
My last question is, what do you want to be remembered for in life?
I want to be remembered for being a good mom. I want to be remembered for being a caring nurse. I'd like to be remembered for having a positive attitude, but I think I blew that one. I think that's kind of the crux of it. I don't know, like, I want to be known for being transparent, too. Like, I feel like people are always trying to hide things or have secrets.
True.
Or whatever. And I feel like if we were more kind of open and honest with each other, a lot of their issues wouldn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's all.
Okay. So that was my last question. It's also 9 o'clock on the dot, so that's kind of satisfying.